Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, I'm Ed Byrne, and as my kids get older and the march of time pushes me ever closer to the inevitability of retirement, I've decided I'm in the market for a new hobby. But I seek guidance, so every week I'll be meeting up with one of my celebrity chums, trying out their favourite pastime and then interrogating them about it to see if it's for me. And just to make sure I fully divorce myself from the decision-making process, I will also be starting and finishing every episode with a chat with my wife Claire, in order to fully examine whether or not said hobby is a good fit. This is Ed Byrne Needs a Hobby.
What is it today?
I'm heading up to Chatsworth House.
Oh, very nice.
To meet Kate Botley.
Oh.
Of whom I'm very fond. Kate Botley, as you know, I travelled through northern Spain with her on the pilgrimage programme. And then we also did, we've done various shows together, but we did The Chase together.
Oh, yeah.
We did the Christmas.
Oh, yeah, what did she think about quizzing?
She's a big fan of a quiz as well. Kate has another hobby that, and I can't remember what it was she told me. It's something really, really odd, like collecting biscuit tins or something really odd. But her real passion is something I'm not really looking forward to, and that's wild swimming.
Oh, God.
Now, you know me. I don't even like swimming.
You don't like swimming and you don't like being cold.
No.
I mean, you're always cold in the house.
I am always cold in the house. That's because you keep turning the heating down.
Well, that's by the by. It's because you've no meat on your bones. Anyway, what? You're going swimming in a lake or a river?
Yeah, she says she's going to check what the weather's like. Depending what the weather is like, it'll be either a lake or a river.
Well, I hope it's a lake. It'll be warmer, won't it? You don't want to be in running water. It's always colder.
It doesn't really make any odds. It's going to be freezing cold. As we record this, it is the start of February. And we're going to the Peak District. And I texted her, I asked her, is it all right to wear a wetsuit? She said, no, that's cheating. But I don't want to do this at all.
No, I don't blame you.
I'm looking forward to seeing Kate. I feel like I'm not giving this a fair shake.
You've got to give it a go. Because by all accounts, everybody that has ever done it says how wonderful it is when you get out. Anyway, listen, you have to be positive about it.
Yeah.
Because you're doing it. And it, and it apparently is incredibly invigorating and very... fulfilling, and I mean, it must be more and more people are doing it all the time. And Kate is somebody that you get on extremely well with, and she absolutely loves it. So you know, it might be brilliant. You might think it's brilliant.
Well, there's always comedic value in doing something you don't enjoy.
I mean,
maybe it'll be funny.
I'll be very curious to see what you make of it. Do you want, there's a trug out there, look, full of water in it. Why don't you go and stand in it for a practice?
Hello, my name is Kate Botley and I love cold water swimming.
Cold water swimming?
Yeah, I would call it cold water swimming, definitely.
I've been referring to it as wild swimming.
Because sometimes it's not wild, you see, because sometimes you swim in pools with no heat enough. It's definitely the cold that does it, not the wild.
Right. I find some people can sometimes be sniffy about the term wild swimming. Just listening to the radio the other day and somebody mentioned wild swimming and then says, oh, as we call it, swimming.
Yeah.
And I think that's an unfair distinction, because if I asked you what your hobby was and you just said swimming, I would immediately jump to swimming pool and somebody doing lengths.
Right.
But that's not what it's about.
No, it's about the temperature for me. I mean, it does have the element of being outside and obviously being in the open water and rivers and lakes and waterfalls and all that sort of stuff. That gives you a buzz. But actually, you can swim in cold pools and that gives you the same sort of little kick.
It's right.
The temperature, I think, more than the location.
That's interesting. I did not realize that was until we were doing it today and you were talking about it today, that the cold was such an integral part of it. I always assumed that the cold was something that you suffered and that you didn't mind, but that what it was really about was just swimming, being in the water in nature. But it is the cold is an integral part of it for you.
It's the cold for me that does it every single time. When the water gets warm in the summer, I get really sad, even if I'm swimming in a really beautiful place, because it's just too warm. You can't get that light and nicely dry. And it's because it makes you feel strong. It's because it makes you feel like you've done something that's a bit scary and a bit uncomfortable, but you've overcome it.
So people go, isn't it cold? And you go, yeah, it's cold. So it's not about trying to pretend it's not cold or fight the cold. It's about feeling the cold.
Embrace the cold.
And the first time I swam under 5 degrees, it won't be under 5 today, but the first time I swam under 5 degrees, I went with a Buddhist. And he was amazing because he was like, nah, it's really cold. You just have to accept it. You just have to go, yep, this is cold, and breathe through it. And everything in your body will be going, nah, this is ridiculous. Get yourself out of here as quickly as possible. But the difference between this activity and other high adrenaline sports, I think, is that other ones are about attacking it. So like when you jump out of a plane, not that I've done that, I imagine, it's like, rah, you have to psych yourself up for it. Whereas this one, it's much more about just accepting it, accepting the sweet taste of death.
So you consider this a high adrenaline sport?
Yeah.
But the adrenaline is just purely almost from the pain of the cold?
Yeah.
So it's adrenaline without excitement.
It's like a vodka shot of exercise. You know that buzz you get after running for ages and you get that nice little endorphin rush? You get this in like 5 minutes instead of having to run for
But without the benefit of the cardiovascular...
No, it's really good for your brown fat. It's really good for your heart rate. I mean, we've got heart disease in our family, so I like to check it out every now and again. Make sure that it's, you know, the heart's still pumping round. That's what I like to do. Right, let me get... Wait. Let me get your mats out. Don't stand on the
water. Oh, gosh.
Don't get your feet...
I forget just
don't
the extent
Don't get your feet wet before you need to get
I've started
wet.
Taking my shoes off, listeners, and
oh my
I've
goodness.
Been a fool to myself, oh my apparently, because I'm standing on the ground.
I can't get over kit out to help you. There we go. So the trick is to make sure that when you get out, everything's in the right order for you to put it straight back on. So make sure your socks are turned back the way you want them to be turned. All that sort of stuff.
And I'll just unzip this so my towel is ready for me.
Right, let me show you where we're going to get in and where the dangers
are. So I'll put this mat over me.
Yeah, put that over everything and then it'll keep things nice and dry for you. I've brought brownies and I've bought hot chocolate for us so we can get warm after. You happy?
I am, yeah.
Sure? Now the bad news is I brought both my thermometers, neither of which have got batteries in, so we're going to have to do what we call the flax test when we get in to see how cold it is. if enough women get in, it sounds like a round of applause as the old shut.
If anything, this has made me even more sceptical about the hobby. This is what I was kind of getting on board. I knew it wasn't for me.
When it was about fish and birds and nice trees and sunsets, you were like, oh yeah, I could sort of get this.
Yeah.
But no, it's the cold.
Part of me's like, oh, but it can be nice sometimes. Oh no, she actually, the thing that I see as the drawback is the pure thing that draws her to it.
When it gets below 10, which here, in the autumn, when it gets below 10 degrees, which here, then when it gets below 5, people start phoning each other up and like, it's below 5, where have you had below 5? Oh, I've had below 5 in the river at the end of the road. Right, quick, let's go there. And then when ice is spotted, the rumour through the swim community spreads like wildfire that there's ice somewhere and people jump in their cars and drive to the ice for the cold.
Wow.
So there's a swimming pool out here, right? Haversidge, not far from where we are today.
Yeah.
They've got an outdoor heated swimming pool at Haversidge.
Mm-hmm.
Their boilers are broken at the moment. So they were going to close the pool because the boilers are broken. Don't close the pools. We're all swimming there now. So we've all been for swims. I wouldn't normally go to Haversidge because it's heated.
Right.
But because their boilers aren't working, we're all swimming there.
Has it dawned on them now that this could be a great way to save money? That's like me telling people, oh no, I'm not actually into hills. I go hill walking for the rain.
Yeah, exactly. I look a bit like my spirituality and my belief in that I believe in a man raised from the dead. I know it makes no sense, but yet here I am.
Do you ever wonder why he chose to walk on water? Do you ever think, did he walk on the water because it was warm, so there was no point in getting in it?
Proxy was that.
So when did it start for you? Because obviously you grew up not far from here, so landlocked.
Yeah.
Does the sea hold any draw for you?
Sea's all right, but I don't really like salt water. I don't like the taste of it, and it stings and all that sort of stuff. I've always got in fresh water. Even when we were little, we'd always go paddling, and I'd always fall in the rivers, and then I just didn't get out, really. But the proper kind of starting to deliberately go swimming and buy kit, which I think is probably when it started. So I've always got in the rivers in the summer and stuff. But I first bought kit about 5 years ago.
Right.
Yeah, bought a dry rope.
Is that where you think when something crosses over from pastime to hobby,
yeah, I think that
is the purchase of kit?
When you start buying things and people start buying new things. So all of a sudden, and of course, this wild swimming thing has really exploded in the last few years.
Yes, it has.
There's a load of merch now. You can get birthday cards with it on and t-shirts and mugs and car stickers and all sorts of things. And I also think it tips over when other people start buying new stuff that is to do with your hobby. That's when it's like a recognize. This is your thing. This is no longer...
Yeah.
Just something you do once in a while. This is
Who you are.
A swimming guide for Christmas. Here is a new swimming costume for your birthday. You know, that's it.
And why do you think, because it does seem to be a thing that, well, it seems to be a thing that women do. Why do you suppose that is?
Well,
I didn't want to say that. You could hear me hesitate.
Size,
but I do feel that I am a certain age, that I can now use the phrase a certain age. Why do you think that is?
Goes down, you see, and we have no gauge of temperature anymore.
Is that part of it? Is it to counteract the hot flushes?
I think it's that. I think it's also a little bit of your body. So your relationship with your body really changes because things aren't in the same place that they used to be. Things don't feel the same as they used to feel. And you're like, oh my goodness, all the sexiness has oozed out of every pore. How can I claim back anything of my body being strong and beautiful and capable? And there's something about standing naked at the side of a riverbank in -2 air temperatures, which means that you cannot be frilly about how saggy your boobs are.
Right.
You just have to embrace it. So it's a great thing for learning how brilliant your body is and also how normal everybody's bodies are.
Getting into the strength thing, do you think that is part of the appeal of it? In that it does take a certain type of strength. Where you're not lifting weights, it's not an endurance as in you're running a long way, but you're still doing a thing that other people can't do. And it's a form of endurance that other people don't have.
Absolutely. I was always last in the running race at school. I was never what they would call sporty, but put me in the water and I can do something that someone else can't do.
Mm.
That feels really powerful and really strong. I feel like a superwoman.
Mm.
And the first time I ever went really cold water swimming at 3 degrees water was the first kind of under 5 degrees. I felt invincible for the rest of the day. I was ready to take on the world. It's like, a woman hit me raw. There is a kick out of that. And that's not I feel powerful because someone else is weak. It's more about embracing that there are some things that you didn't think you were capable of, and then you are capable of them. And actually, it translates all the time. So that breathing stuff you were doing today, where you kind of slow your breathing down, because everything in your body is saying, don't do this, get out. And you need to slow your breathing right down, slow your heart rate right down. I use it all the time now. Whenever I get nervous, whenever I get scared, I will say to myself out loud, you just get any cold water, Kate. You just get any cold water. And try and remember that what it feels like to get in cold water, to slow my breathing right down.
Because I suppose it can only ever get so cold, because after that, it's solid.
Well, I have smashed ice to get in. We do carry a hammer as part of the kit to cut holes in ice.
Right, I want to know exactly. So what kit have you got then? You've got the dry robe, which is the thing you put on over your clothes to get changed under.
Swimming costume, something for your feet if you're swimming in a river or a lake, because you don't know what's underfoot. If it's really cold, we'll wear neoprene gloves and neoprene socks, but that's when it's literal ice. But it wasn't cold enough today, really. And we weren't in long enough. If you were doing an ice mile, or if you were trying to, you know, swim a big distance, then you probably would have been wise to it. But they slow you up anyway. I did 3 triathlons for Sport Relief a couple of years back, and I wore a wetsuit for that. I mean, it was like having sex in a sleeping bag. It was awful. There's just no room to get, you know, you just can't feel the water. So I don't really see the point.
When you and your ladies are cold war swimming, as you would refer to it, and people get in wetsuits, do you tut? Do your eyes roll?
What we do is they emerge at April Easter time in their wetsuits, and they get in the water and it's like 12 degrees, 13 degrees, and they go, oh, it's cold today, it's cold today.
Whatever.
It's tropical.
They don't know the bond.
and then they go, oh, you're brave. And they look at us and our swimsuits go, you're brave, like that. And we think, bloody hell, you know, we've been swimming at 1 or 2 degrees.
You say your husband has driven to York today to go.
Today for a swim, yeah.
And is that a thing then? Do you tick places off?
There are guidebooks, and people tick them off and go, I'm having that today, I'm going to bag that one today. So recently I did Devil's Bridge up in Kirby Lonsdale, which I've been wanting to do for ages. Mm. So you get in at one end of the river and you let the river carry you.
Okay.
And that's a lot of fun. And you go under about three or four bridges, but the trouble is you have to get out and walk back, and the bridges you go under are A roads. So you're actually crossing the road in your swimming costume in November, waving at the cars and then getting back in again.
I suppose the trick is to go with a friend and park at either end.
So they can drive you back.
Yeah.
There were like 15 of us all in swimsuits, all walking up an A road together. And you just think, I wonder what the conversations are going on in those cars. Is that about Vicross?
So where we went today, at Chatsworth House, you've obviously been there before. Yeah, is that a regular spot for you?
Swim spot. And you could tell from where we got in, the bank was really well worn away. You could see the path down to the edge of the water. Mm. And when you know what you're looking for, you can see entry and exit points really easily, because you wouldn't get in anything that you couldn't get out of very quickly.
I'm surprised how deep it was, how quickly it got that deep that I couldn't touch the bottom.
I just feel, for me, I'm 5 foot. Mm-hmm. It gets deeper for me quicker than it did for you.
Yeah, I got worried, actually, because I knew you would save me. But I didn't want that to happen. I knew that if I just find myself in difficulty, that you would have done.
Yeah, of course.
But I didn't want you to.
No.
And I did worry that you might have to. Because I was surprised.
It was fast flowing water. It wasn't still water. So
no.
And you were swimming against the current, which is a really hard, it's a hard swim. So we would normally swim, there's a weir further up. And what we would normally do is swim weir to weir and then let the river carry us back down. So that's about a 20-25 minute swim against the current. So you feel it.
It's very hard to swim when you're really cold. That's one thing I also have discovered. I'm not a strong swimmer anyway.
I'm glad you're telling me that now.
Yeah.
Would you recommend a quick submersion or a slow lowering?
Nice and slow, so you don't shock the system too much. That's it. Fine. I've got to get in because I need a wee.
Please. It'll warm it up a little bit. I'll come and stand next to you.
I'll be warm in this bit in a minute.
Oh, that is cold. I know it sounds obvious to say that it's cold, but it's got like a slightly being stabbed with a million
times. Yeah, it bites you. And what happens is, when you talk about air temperature, mm-hmm. we say, 12 degrees, that's a warm day, right? Mm-hmm. But cold tap water, if you ran a bath in your house, that would be 12. And you wouldn't dream of doing that.
No, it's definitely lower than 12.
It's about 7. Yeah, it's quite, rivers are normally a bit warmer as well. So the trick is, just keep breathing. Because everything in your body right now is telling you not to do this.
Yeah.
This is dangerous, that you're cold, that you're miserable, that you're unhappy.
Yeah.
All those things are true.
Yeah.
But it's getting past that.
Yeah. Every bit of my body
is going, what the hell are you doing? Get out of here right now.
And one bit in particular.
I
which is about to cross the threshold.
Yes. I get that bit over with as soon as you possibly can.
There it is.
Have you wee?
Oh, that moment you sooner as you get older.
And then we will reach out in a bit and have a look and swim.
Okay. Yep.
Just get your hands in.
You're in.
You just keep walking till it gets too deep. Do anything else? We're going to reach out. Reach out.
Your hands.
Breathe. So you can pull that water towards you. You've got your feet off the ground. I was surprised at how long it took before I felt all right in the water as well.
Yeah, and that's when people bail. So you did really well, because that first few minutes when you're really cold and it's really horrible,
mm-hmm.
and it's horrible. I've been doing this for 5 years. It's still horrible. The mm-hmm. first few minutes. And you think, right, sod this for a game of soldiers. I'm out of here. If you can get past that, mm-hmm. then it doesn't feel cold anymore.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. But it. I was surprised at how long you spend still feeling worse. So we go, now it's hurting, and now it's hurting more, and that feeling. And I really thought, I thought it would come sooner, that feeling of, okay, it's not so bad. But that feeling did come eventually.
Yeah, it does come. And then the trick is to not stay in too long because you feel great.
And also, I think because it's normally middle-aged menopausal women that do it.
Yeah, there he is, I'm splashing!
Look at you! Just come away from the edge a little bit because there'll be branches and debris.
I'm going to hang on to one.
Are you going to hang on to it like a drowning man?
Oh, I'm having a rest.
You're having a rest, though? Oh. Are you okay?
I think I'm used to it now.
Yeah. You get past the first few minutes.
Yeah. I feel I have grown accustomed.
You look great. I mean, you look hilarious, but...
Well, that's generally what I aim for. Oh. I mean, I'm generally not as fit as I have been. I haven't been running as much. But it does take your breath away.
It really does. It's easier swimming back. But us sturdy girls are built for this kind of thing.
What's that?
Us sturdy girls are built for this kind of thing. I think that's the other mistake a lot of people make about this. Especially the skinny blokes in the summer.
Yeah.
You take one look at the girls that are swimming and think...
Well, if she can do it.
If she can do it, I can do it.
Right.
But they haven't got this lovely, nice brown fat under the skin to insulate their organs like I have.
I'm fine. I'm not mad into swimming anyway. I'm going to reveal something. I have a pool.
I did not.
My house
this.
Has a pool.
Outdoor?
Yeah.
Unheated?
No, it's heated.
Even in the winter?
We turned it off for a couple of months a year.
Yeah.
It's got like a big like greenhouse over it.
Uh-huh.
Perspex thing.
Oh yeah, I know the type.
I still don't get in it.
Don't you?
I've got in my own pool and I hardly ever get in it. My family get used. So that's the extent to which I don't swim.
Oh, wow. I'm glad you told me that now, when I've got you in, as opposed to when you got out. Okay?
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the best things when you get a fly patch.
Yeah.
Or the swans fly past you, yeah. Or the geese or whatever. That's always good fun. When the pikes brush past you, like, that's less entertaining, I'll be honest.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, you said to me just as we were getting to the, just as I was getting to the bank, I was thinking, I'm really tired. I'm out of breath. And I'm not enjoying this. And then you said, you should be able to stand on the bottom now. And I was, oh, please God, please God, please God. And when our feet just touched soft earth, I was like, oh, that's
there
good.
It is.
I can. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's
fine. It's over.
Me. You know, I'll swim out into the middle of a lake every now and again and go, oh.
Mm.
I better get myself back quick
because
I'm getting tired now and I'm a long way out. So you do overestimate yourself occasionally. But I'm sure, you know, runners do that, don't they? Walkers do that.
Yeah.
Everybody does that once in a while. It's good to scare yourself as well, to remind yourself that this is dangerous.
Good. You're taller than me. You can probably touch about now. You touch?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't quite yet. Oh, there I am.
I'm very glad.
Look away, Michael.
Very glad to have you here with Grace.
I'm right behind you.
Mm-hmm. You don't feel cold at all while you're getting changed.
No, that also surprised me. I expected when once I got out to then feel really cold, but it actually.
But that's the danger.
I think I just wasn't feeling anything.
The dangerous time when you're swimming is when you start to feel warm in the cold water.
Right, that's hypothermia.
Yeah. And it starts to feel warm, and you're thinking, "Oh, it's nice in here now."
Mm. Yeah. That is hypothermia. Yeah, that is apparently that's a classic thing as well when people are found, you know, in Arctic conditions. Is a lot of time they're naked.
Yeah,
because they feel so hot towards the end.
I know, I pushed it too far when I can't talk when I get out.
Yes. I would imagine if you can't talk, something serious.
I do this kind of grunting noise, which my friend says that it sounds like I'm in labour, so I can't actually speak to people. Go, do you want a hot chocolate? I go, and I remember once when I first started cold water swimming, doing my grunting in the changing room, it was a venue swim. And these women just came from nowhere, like sirens, and just dressed me and dried me and put clothes on me. And I was like, oh, this is quite nice. I couldn't actually communicate with any of them. But they just appeared and dressed me and they disappeared again. I still don't know who they were, but
they're just, that's Kate Bartley. She's not speaking. Something's wrong. Quick, let's get to it.
So Chatsworth is a well-known swim spot. And nobody owns the water, but people own the bank. So, you know, you have to be a little bit careful about where you swim. And you can get told off. And the trick is if you get told off, you just go, I'm so sorry. And you get your clothes and you go home.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, you don't get told off at there. They let you swim. The Duke and Duchess of Devonshire are very amenable to people swimming.
I thought this would be the worst bit. I don't feel as bad right now as I thought I was going to.
No, you'll have a little bit of what's called afterdrop in about 3 minutes when your body realises that it doesn't need to fight to keep you warm in quite the same way. Trick is to take that top off before you put the towel on.
How can you do when your
the second
hands
trick
don't
is
work?
Not to be shy.
Oh, gosh.
No room for frilliness, I'm afraid.
Oh, I'm aware of how little I'm feeling. Like, there's totally a definite numbness here.
Yeah, it's good for that.
So how often do you do this?
Depends what my weight looks like most things, but ideally every day.
Really?
Yeah, ideally.
Every single
river behind the house.
Danger.
And I've got a barrel in the back garden that I sit in. Cold water barrel that I go and sit in. But there's nothing like living water, you know, like the rivers and the lakes and stuff. In 2019, I did 365 swims.
Okay.
Waterfalls are really good fun. Swimming under waterfalls and that sort of thing, that's always good fun. And also, you know me, I'm a desperate attention-seeking maniac. So I quite like in the winter when people are walking past in woolly hats and gloves going, oh, you're never getting in. I am getting in.
I quite
like a bit of that. Other people are like, oh, it's so peaceful. I like to be on my own when I'm like, no, give me an audience. What's the point in doing it if no one's looking?
Oh, yes, the life unexamined.
Huh? Got your dry hat. I mean, it's just the kit, really. I kind of like that you can be as unglamorous as you like doing this. Yeah. I've brought a spare cosy if you want to do another one on the way back.
No, I think I absolutely
you
feel like
you've done it. You did really well.
Experienced it.
You did really well.
I'm not joking. I still have not got feeling everywhere. There's still numbness. Yeah, my foot doesn't seem to want to cooperate with putting my socks back on. Why am I shivering?
Because you haven't been in that long. You haven't been in long enough to get a shiver on.
But I shiver like if I get out of bed in a cold, in a room that's not warm.
Because your body knows how cold you've been, so it's chucking everything at you. It's burning. I presume that's what it is. I mean, I don't know the science and the biology of it. I do religion, babes. You know, so
you don't do science.
No, I do. Go on then. But you haven't really been in long enough, I don't think, to get a shiver on. But I like that little tingle, nice.
Here you are, an Anglican priest, a presenter of songs of praise. Here I am, rationalist humanist, member of the Human Association. And I feel like the thing we would fall out over
is our attitude to wild swimming.
Oh yeah, we won't fall out over anything else.
I feel like this would be our most fundamental difference.
It's funny though, because it does have a religious aspect to it. A lot of people, I mean, I'm not saying that people who swim are religious, but there's definitely a, like, I don't know, you know, the...
It's the closest I've come to praying.
So how I feel when I've been cold water swimming is I can't think about anything else while I'm doing it other than the cold water swimming. I don't know about you, Ed, but I have a million things going off in my head at any time. And, you know, a lot of those things are quite big worries or, you know, responsibilities. But when I'm getting in freezing cold water, all I can think about is breathing in and out and not dying. So that's why I love it. How did you feel before, during and after?
I mean, it's not high praise to say of something it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. I was not looking forward to it. Bearing in mind, I don't really like swimming.
Yeah.
I go on beach holidays with my family because they like them. I don't do it for me. When it comes to water, I quite like kayaks and canoes and things like that. But that is my experience of water. So getting into water is not something that I generally enjoy. I also don't like being cold. I hate it. I hate the cold. Myself and my wife are locked in a war of attrition over the thermostat in the house. She likes it cooler, I like it warmer. So every factor of this, it goes against what I would want to do. Having said all of that, I still hated it. No, having said all that,
it wasn't
as bad as I thought it was going to be. And I get it. I'm going to say that. I do get it. And I find it very interesting, particularly the concept. The cold is such an important part of it. That is something I've really only learned today. And I understand it. I'm not buying a dry robe. Funnily enough, the bit I was dreading the most was the getting changed afterwards. For some reason, I expected that to be the worst bit. Even that was fine.
Getting in was the worst bit, right?
Getting in was worse. I think around about minute three was the worst bit, where it just still felt like it was never going to stop stabbing me in every part of my body.
Yeah.
And I couldn't quite breathe properly. That I felt was, and it felt like it was never going to get any better. That was the worst bit.
And it did get better?
It did.
Good.
But I definitely feel that it could do with a sauna or a hot tub as part of the thing.
Perfectly fine. Just turn the heater up in the car when you get back in.
But I'm looking back on it and I'm happy to have done it. I'm not regretting spending the morning in a cold river with you.
It was lovely to have you so much.
When you're on holiday, have you ever experienced the thing of going the hot, cold, hot, cold? Because I quite like that. I do enjoy, and I have done in the past and will do in the future, is going hot, cold, hot, cold. So going from a hot tub into a cold water or a sauna into a plunge pool, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Does that appeal to you at all?
That appeals to me as well. So the extremes of temperature really appeals. I love that. So I'm swimming Scottish Winter Championships and there's a hot tub.
Scottish Winter Championships. Now, sorry, I'm going to zero in on that. What is the Scottish Winter Championships?
Swim festival. So it'll be about 3 degrees in the lock and you swim competitively. So you swim heads up breaststroke or butterfly to see how far and how fast you can do.
So it's not a question of how long you can stay in, is there also one of those?
No, it's not endurance.
No.
It's distance. And it's just a whole load of people who like cold water getting together and doing cold water.
Because that is the one thing I found. I mean, I'm not a strong swimmer, but I was struggling.
So distance means a whole different.
Just to get back to the bank. Yeah, when you're really cold, it's really hard to swim.
Yeah. And that's the other thing I really love about it. So I don't know about you at school, but I was always, you know, it was how fast you go and how far you go. And surely when the triathletes come out in the Easter time, that's their first question. You know, they get their Garmin's out and they go, oh, how far have you done? How fast have you done? And the other thing I really love about cold water swimming, those things aren't a question. If you've got in and got off your feet, you've had a great swim.
But going further and faster in that temperature is much more difficult.
Miles. I mean, I'm not that kind of swimmer. You know, at the moment, there's people who are swimming a mile under 5 degrees, and that is a recipe of madness. I did 500 metres last weekend and couldn't speak for an hour. And I still do it, even though I swim, even though I do this really regularly. There are times I get out of the water and go, oh dear. Oops.
I've gone too far.
Oops. I've really been a bit silly here. Or you get to the water's edge and you don't get in. You just go, oh no, there's something not right today. I'm not feeling it. You get like spidey sensors.
Oh really?
There's something not right. Not about the water, but about you. That your head's not in the right place, or you're going to push yourself too far, or you're going to get into trouble, or you're going to panic. I did it the other week. I got to the edge of the water and I thought, I'm not in right frame of mind for this. I'm not doing this. I don't feel right.
Interesting.
Hot chocolate instead.
Because that's a classic thing with hill walking, for instance, is that people go when they shouldn't.
Yeah.
I asked Mountain Rescue guys if there's one common factor that leads to you having to be called out, like what's the mistake that people make? And he said people book the time off work, they book the accommodation, they go to the Cairngorms, wherever it is, and then the weather is too bad to go. And they go, well, we've come all this way, and they just go anyway. So, yeah, that idea of knowing in yourself when to go, this isn't a good idea.
And if we'd got to Water's Edge today and I'd looked at it and thought, I don't like the look of it, we wouldn't have gone in.
I would have been really annoyed about that. Because, I've come here for this. I didn't even want to do it.
But you
have got water,
it's back on
now. But we've digressed. Sorry. As the best conversations do. So the Scottish Water Championship, we're going back to the hot cold thing. So yeah, did that happen there?
They have hot tubs and saunas and all that sort of stuff. And it's and so we'll be doing a bit of that. But a good day is about 5 swims in a day. So mm-hmm. We'll get 5 or 6 swims in while we're up there. And we'll go ice hunting while we're up there. So we'll go looking, cause hopefully it's above the snow line, some of it. So we'll go looking for some ice and smash some ice and get in.
Have you ever been to Scandinavia? Have you ever been in the Nordics?
I've never done cold water abroad.
No.
I'd love to do that. I'd love to have a go at and what I want to do is, you know, the Russian Orthodox Church, when they do the baptism in the cut hole in the ice and they dunk themselves in.
Okay.
And Epiphany on the coming of the kings, I'd love to do that. I'd love to have a go at that.
Oh, just so combining cold water swimming with religion.
I'd love to do a tour of, like all the ancient holy water sites that, you know, Christians took over and stuff, and St. Bridget's Well and all that kind of thing. I mean, that would be amazing. To do some proper sacred swimming would be incredible. And I swam in an underground waterfall a few months back and just was in bits, absolute bits. You know, for my friends who were with me, they were crying too. They had a spiritual experience, but they ascribed that spiritual experience to something else.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for me, it is integral to my faith as well.
So the underground cold water swimming, is that another niche sort of... Are there people who are really into that?
Who are really into that.
What do they refer to themselves as anything? do they have nicknames for the overgrounders?
I would like to think they do. I don't know. They're insane. They're a different breed. They're like mole people. They're like, you know, blink when they come out into the sun. But yeah, there are people who take this even further. I mean, like anything, like hill walking, like anything, like stamp collecting. There are people who are nuts about this and will travel halfway across the world to swim for half an hour.
I'm curious about the underground thing. So do they have like miners' lamps and stuff?
Yeah, you have like caving lamps and things to go under. I mean, the good thing about underground swimming, it's a lot less revealing when you get changed because you just turn the lights off.
Yes, yeah.
Whereas there's like one of the most challenging things when you start cold water swimming is, you know, sometimes I'll take people and they go, so where do we get changed? And you go, here? Like
yeah.
That. And they're like, oh my goodness, that's the first thing to get over. I don't think about it anymore. You sort of forget that when you're bending over to get your socks, that, you know, there's a car park and a garden centre behind you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Are there other ways you can combine it? Are you into kayaking or canoeing or fishing or any of that?
Yeah, we upset fishermen a lot.
Right.
They get quite grumpy with us because we scare the fish away.
But downstream.
So people do paddle boarding. Dog swimming is quite popular. So you take your dog swimming with you. So there are lakes that will specifically open up for owners to swim with their dogs.
Right.
My dog doesn't swim. He's a greyhound.
Borrow a dog.
Swimming. I wanted to get Newfoundlands are like swim.
Yeah.
Specifically for swimming. So I was looking at getting one of those and I was talking to somebody about them and they said, no, don't get those because they're bred to rescue you. So they're not good dogs to swim with.
Because I was trying to get you, get you
out again. Don't swim with
that. That's you could almost sort of play fetch then with the dog. you just keep getting in and out. Why do you think it is that it's exploded lately? Because you've been doing it a long time.
I think it's multi-level. I think lockdown had a lot to do with it because it was free and pools were shut. So I think
right.
It had a lot to do with it. I think there's something to do with whenever we seem to go into periods of financial hardship as a nation, people look for activities that are more wholesome. So we know that we see an explosion in things like knitting and crochet and wholesome activities
mm-hmm.
that are very connected to, you know, sort of low-tech stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we often see that when we see dips in the economy. So I think it might have something to do with that, that there's an interest in embracing things that feel more connected to the past, perhaps. I also think that as technology advances and stuff, we look for getting reconnected with nature as well. And I think that simply just people talking about it. Mm-hmm. The thing that spreads it. It's cheap.
Mm-hmm. It's but it can also be expensive. I love that.
It's as expensive as you want. It's yeah. Like, I mean, those dry rugs are 150 quid or whatever a coat.
Yeah.
But that's an investment. You know, mm-hmm. if you buy one of those. We have this joke that when we take people cold water swimming, if they buy a dry rug the week after, we go, oh, that's it, we've got them. Without being recruited, we've converted them. And it's true, you know, you sort of, I went for my first proper cold water swim. And then I think I got a dry rib 2 weeks after. Mm-hmm. And I went, that's what I need. I need one of them.
And then it's also it's part of defining yourself, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
for now.
I'm a literal car sicker that's a dry rib wanker. But they've become, I mean, apparently it's what everybody wears in like Cornwall now. It's like the thing to wear.
Oh, you just walk around in them.
Walk around in. Where I live in landlocked Retford, there aren't very many wild swimmers, I'll be honest with you, or cold water swimmers. And so when I go into Aldi in one of those coats, I look like I'm nicking big chicken. I'm drowned by security guards. Watch her. Watch her. She's got a mince down her leg.
So, Kate, sell me on cold water swimming. If you just met me and you wanted to pitch this idea as a hobby I should take up, what would you say?
Cold water swimming is a wonderful hobby because it gets you outside into the open, fresh air. It gets the pulse rate going. It gets your heart rate going. But at the same time, it helps connect you with something very ancient, the water system. And when I go into the water, I can go in with all sorts of problems and worries, and the water just washes it all away, cleanses me physically and spiritually and mentally. And it's also always followed up with a bit of cake and some hot chocolate, which is never a bad thing.
I'm dying to know, how did it go with Kate Botley?
Yeah, it was lovely to see her. For her, it's not about the wild swimming. It's not about the swimming necessarily in nature.
No.
It is about cold water swimming.
Cold water, yeah.
Which can fuck off further than wild swimming could.
It's not even the distance, is it? It's about getting cold.
Yeah. It's specifically, it's like, so when you said jokingly before the interview, there's a trug out there if you want to just stand in it. That's not a million miles from what Kate will do if she can't, for whatever reason, get to an actual swimming spot. As you say, she has a barrel in the back garden and she'll just get in that.
Yeah, and that'll do.
Mm.
And just sit in it.
Yeah.
For how long?
I didn't press her on exactly how long she'll sit in the barrel.
How long did you sit
in the
lake for?
I was in the lake for between 5 and 10. Definitely.
That's quite a difference.
I don't think it was 10 minutes. It was certainly more than 5.
Right. Yeah. Were you moving? Were you swimming?
Yes, I was swimming, but it's really hard.
What's
wouldn't pigeonhole what I was doing. I wouldn't specifically say what stroke I was doing. I was, you know me, I'm not a great swimmer. I'm not exactly economical in my movements. There's a lot of splashing generally. But when you're that cold, your body, like I'm sore now the next day.
Right.
Because.
From what?
From doing an exercise with cold muscles. You know, normally when you do anything, you might just have a golf swing. You might do what, you know, you might just be doing a bit of work in the garden and you'll do a bit of a stretch before you start digging. Swimming, your muscles are cold no matter what you do. So, yeah, so reaching,
Sorry,
doing that thing.
Did you say you'd have a stretch before you did some digging in the garden?
I'm a thing I do. Just before you go to dig some compost, you might just have a lean over and do a little bit of touch your toes and stuff like that. Just to, rather than getting straight in and doing your back in.
Do you stretch in bed before you get out of bed and go for a walk? My God. Okay, so how far did you swim? Were you swimming solidly for the approximately 7 minutes
I swam.
Were you constantly moving?
There were some overhanging branches that I was able to hang on to for a bit when I needed a rest.
Okay.
And she's off and she's just there and she's delighted and happy. And at one point she went onto her back and looked just like an otter. She just was so serene and pleased and just in her element while I just really didn't like it. And then after about 5 minutes, it doesn't get any worse. And I think there's a certain amount of numbness, so you're not. But as I say, it's hard to move.
So you couldn't swim fast enough to keep warm?
No, absolutely not. No, and you wouldn't.
And it's not about keeping warm anyway. It's about allowing yourself to be cold.
No.
And relaxing. Is the point to slow your heart down?
As far as I can tell, what's really what it's about and what I respect about it, it's about being able to do it. It's about the endurance of being that cold. and just being able to do it. But you, yeah, you don't really warm up. I was glad when I did it that it was over, and I was glad that I had done it. It's absolutely not something I'm going to pursue in the future.
How long does Kate stay in for on a normal job? Like if she's going off on a cold water swim, what, how long does she...
Oh, a good bit longer, but she has, she said she's had times. So this is the thing, it's kind of dangerous in that she's come out of a swim and realised that she'd been in too long.
Okay.
Because that's the thing. I think if you stay in it for too long and your core temperature starts to drop, then you can get hypothermia.
Yeah, and
you do have to start looking at each other. Yeah, so you have, yeah. And that's the thing. And they've had to help other people. She was telling me stories about, you know, blokes just, you know, they see them and they jump in and they go under because the shock of the cold makes them do an intake of breath and their water goes in their lungs and they're choking, you know. I get the idea of being able to do a thing that other people can't do. I like part of the thing I enjoy about hill walking is that other people who are stronger and faster, et cetera, than I am, couldn't walk for as far, for as long, with as much weight on their back. And there's, you know, that is...
Well, that's celebrating our differences, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thank goodness we're not all rugby players.
Yeah, and just doing what you can do. And I think the ability to submerge yourself in freezing ass cold water for a long time is the thing not everybody can do. And it's impressive when people do it. The other thing about it, though, that I just would put me off it, is that it's one of those things where people are compelled to say the same thing to you. In the same way that if you're washing your car and somebody goes by, they have to say, you can do mine next if you want.
All right.
If you're cold water swimming, according to Kate, like, people always have to say just the same, well, you're brave, or isn't it cold, or...
Rather you than me.
Yeah, yeah, there's always got to be...
Well,
the
definitely
sort of,
rather you, that's off to Kate. To constitute a hobby, how often do you have to do it? Like, how often
she would do it 365 days a year, as I'm saying.
She goes every day.
If she can't get in the water...
So she can't go, as you say,
she can't go,
late,
she'll jump, she's
around.
So she's actually, yeah, she's quite a, you know, someone who's into her streak.
Right.
Has done
it.
Well,
I think you should stand in the truck tomorrow to get, you know, get practicing, so the next time you're in the north and you can ring Kate up and you could be a bit better.
No,
and you might not be so moany about it the next time.
I think I've done it for the last time.
Have you? You don't think you'd enjoy it more a second time?
No.
No, that was a very quick answer.
I wouldn't enjoy it any time ever.
Okay, so that's not going to become your new hobby?
No. So you needn't buy me a dry robe for my birthday.
Oh, that's something.
Ed Byrne Needs a Hobby was presented by me, Ed Byrne. Obviously. The music was by Clementine Arnold, and it was produced by Laura Grimshaw.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.